Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to the Canby Now podcast,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this very special 200th episode of the Canby Now podcast. I'm your host, James Walton. Very happy to be with you again. Let's read the news. Police have identified the victim in the August 16th drowning on the Pudding River, the result of an apparent kayaking accident. Shauna Fleck, 58, was kayaking with her husband that Sunday evening near the Pat's Acres Racing Complex on South Arndt Road when the couple was separated. Sergeant Marcus Mendoza, spokesman for the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, said police responded to the scene at approximately 6:15 p.m. when a 911 caller reported seeing a man yelling that his wife had drowned. Members of the Clackamas County Water Rescue Consortium responded, as did the Canby Fire District and Clackamas Fire. Paramedics attempted all possible resuscitation and advanced life support measures, but to no avail. Mendoza said Fleck had been drinking and was not wearing a life jacket. Her husband reportedly found her submerged in the river after the two had been separated. He pulled her from the river, attempted to revive her, and yelled for help, Mendoza said. The case is not considered suspicious, he said, and there is no active investigation. According to an obituary posted by the family online, Shauna Fleck grew up in Woodburn and earned a degree in animal science from Oregon State University and one for nursing from Linfield College. She was an exchange student in Europe and also spent time living with indigenous people in Australia as part of her practical nursing education. During her nursing career, she did everything from delivering babies to providing home health care for the elderly, even caring for her own father during a long illness. She married Dale Fleck at Pat's Acres in 1995. They raised a daughter and three sons. She was a lifelong person of faith and a longtime member of a Bible study at Canby Christian Church. She enjoyed the outdoors, camping, crabbing, fishing, gardening, and spending time with her family. A celebration of life is being planned for family members in late September. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to Dornbecker's Children's Hospital and salute to the passionate caring that defined Shauna's life. This upcoming story carries a content warning for our listeners. This contains graphic language and threats of violence and kidnapping. A harrowing experience for a local mother was made all the more terrifying last week when she began receiving anonymous text messages from a person claiming to have her missing son and threatening to kill him if she didn't pay a cash ransom. When Oregon City resident Tammy Hawk's 14-year-old son went missing on the week of August 17th, she was as anguished and grief-stricken as any mother would be. But when her phone began buzzing with messages from someone claiming to have abducted her son and making threats, the episode became a parent's worst nightmare. "I told you I have Tanner, but you decided not to say anything about it or take it seriously," one message said. Now he is sick and he wants to talk to his mom over the phone. This is fucking important. I am not releasing him until I have a ransom of $7,000. He is sick and refused to eat anything or take anything until he talks to you. Answer me right now. The scammer also threatened to hurt or even kill Hawk's son if she went to the police or failed to follow their demands. I see you are taking time to respond, a later message reads. Listen, he is sick and there is no time to waste. Play by my rules if you fucking want him back unhurt. He is sick. You keep taking time to respond. I am not sure you are ready for this. I see you are telling people about this already and calling the cops. Do not make me hurt him. Tammy Hawk said she was driving near the Oregon City Fred Meyer store when the first text came in. Oh, initial reaction was screaming and panic. She said, I don't remember turning around and driving to the sheriff's station, but I know I was screaming the whole way. When she got there, she picked up the phone outside and explained what was happening. She waited for officers to arrive. More texts were coming in from the kidnapper. They were still texting me, telling me I was taking too long to respond and they would hurt him, she said. She recalls dropping to her knees in the parking lot and screaming, help me, help me. The last messages she got said, she would find her son's body by a gas station that night. For 2 days, I thought my son was dead, Hawk said. Fortunately, Tanner was not dead, nor was he sick or abducted. He had run away from home and, his parents later learned, was staying at an apartment building in Oregon City. He has since returned home safe and sound. It was thanks to hundreds of posts and shares through Facebook and other social media that Tanner was eventually found, but this was also evidently how the case got onto the scammer's radar. Oh, the flyers and the posters and posts were all over creation, Tammy said. Oh, that's why this happened. She said she is grateful to the community, the many people and some businesses who helped get the word out, and especially to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, who showed great kindness and compassion in helping her and her family navigate their nightmare. But the terror of the episode, and the ransom scare in particular, still lingers. We're just so glad it's over, she said. I hope I can help other families. A man was arrested Sunday morning after Clackamas County deputies and Canby police officers were called out to reports of him menacing people with a handgun along 99E south of Canby. William Dean McCormick, 42, was located and taken into custody. Oregon City K-9 Officer Slate and his handler, Officer Dan Shockley, responded to the scene to help search for the firearm, which was believed to have been discarded in a wooden area off the highway. Slate found the quote-unquote weapon, which turned out to be a realistic-looking replica firearm, partially buried in dirt under heavy brush. McCormick admitted that the replica was his, according to police. We're proud of our excellent working relationship with law enforcement agencies in Clackamas County and beyond, the Oregon City Police Department said in a Facebook post. We're equally proud of the hard work our officers, both human and canine, perform day in and day out. Great work, Slate. McCormick was arrested and booked at the Clackamas County Jail on charges of menacing, possession of methamphetamine, and parole violation. He remained in custody as of Monday afternoon, but has since been released. McCormick's record shows a long string of criminal charges out of Marion County dating back to 1997, including robbery, burglary, criminal mischief, criminal trespass, theft, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and evading police. More recently, he was charged with second-degree burglary in January of this year, though online court records show the case was later dismissed. Search and rescue teams associated with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office aided a Hillsboro woman this weekend after she experienced an apparent medical episode 33 miles into a 40-mile run around Mount Hood. Adina Vivanco, 40, reportedly began experiencing medical issues around 11 p.m. on Saturday while running on the Pacific Crest Trail near Timberline Lodge. According to Sheriff's Office search and rescue coordinators, Vivanco had become dizzy and felt sick, and her lips began turning blue. Fortunately, Vivanco had a running partner with her, Jenny Marietta, 43, of Forest Grove, who was able to climb to a point where she had cell phone reception to call for help. The search and rescue coordinators used Marietta's GPS coordinates to determine that she and Vivanco were likely located above Ramona Falls and below Paradise Park. Members of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office search and rescue trail running team started from Timberline Lodge toward the likely location of the subjects. Meanwhile, members of Clackamas County Search and Rescue's ground team deployed to Ramona Falls, hiking up from there. Mountain Wave Emergency Communications sent a volunteer to assist with communications, and American Medical Response Reach and Treat team also responded with help on the search. Vivanco was located about 7 miles from Timberline Lodge at about 4,200 feet of elevation. She was being kept warm by some campers in the area. Temperatures had dipped into the 40s overnight at that location. Rescue teams administered fluids and Vivanco began to recover. She was able to cross two rivers and hike out with rescuers, making it back to Timberline Lodge shortly before 8 a.m. Sunday morning. The rescue had a good outcome. The patient was wisely running with a partner who was able to call for help. In addition, the increasing numbers of people recreating in the wilderness made it possible for Vivanco and Marietta to find others and help them stay warm. Searchers also had come off another all-day search and rescue on Saturday. Because of these back-to-back missions, some rescuers found themselves ending a 26-hour day at the close of the Vivanco rescue mission. Because of the continuing coronavirus pandemic, making unforgettable movie memories is not as easy as it normally would be. But, to paraphrase Ian Malcolm, the Canby Cinema 8, is still finding a way. That happened Sunday for 18-year-old Josh Odell, who is autistic and who got to see his favorite movie, Jurassic Park, on the big screen for the first time in his life. He's been obsessed with dinosaurs since he was a little boy, his mother Krista Burden, Odell, said. Jurassic Park has always been his favorite since he was very small because it's more realistic than some other dinosaur movies for children, like Land Before Time. The screening was made possible by Canby Cinema, which just this week began offering rentals of private showings for parties of 10 or fewer. Since the movie came out 8 years before he was born, he never got to see it on the big screen, Odell said. Oh, so he was thrilled to see it in the theater, even though he can recite every line of the movie. The other members of the family enjoyed the experience too. Krista Odell said the best part was no one giving her dirty looks for using her cell phone or taking pictures while the movie was playing. And, oh, we got to yell stuff at the movie, she laughed. It's almost like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. With Clackamas County still treading water and phase one of the governor's reopening plan, few local businesses have been more directly impacted than the Canby Cinema. While most of Canby's restaurants, bars, retail stores, salons, tattoo studios, health clinics, and even massage parlors were able to reopen back in May, movie theaters, with their tendency to attract large crowds and keep them in a relatively close and closed space for hours at a time, no, they were not. The theater is open for concession sales and has pivoted to its popular mystery movie boxes, which include candy and drink combos and a mystery movie in a genre of your choice to bring in some revenue. The cinema continued its creative approach to pandemic restrictions with the new private screening model, which allows them to actually bring patrons before big screens again, albeit in a highly limited and modified fashion. The screenings cost $150, 50 of which is credited towards concessions, and can accommodate up to 10 people from the same household. They are offering 3 new movies each week, with showings running at 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. each day. Patrons are asked to wear masks anytime they are not eating and use designated doors for entry and exit, and all seats are being sanitized after each screening. For more information or to reserve your own screen, contact the Canby Cinema on its Facebook page.
Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows,
no.
You know?
No. I mean, like, transparent, as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah, like DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah, which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers, and they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today. Woo. Super awkward.
The music is back.
We were both waiting for the other person to start the conversation.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
We have not done you and I sitting down and talking
in the past 100
episodes. 100 episodes.
Since we did the 100th
episode. The 100, yeah. I think that was the last time we were both in studio talking in mic.
Which is how I wanted to start this because that feels like 2 weeks ago. Like,
yeah, it doesn't feel like
we've done, like, the first 100 felt like 100 episodes.
That's 50 weeks. That's almost a year ago, right?
Yeah.
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 Plus maybe like, yeah, that's nuts, man. That's crazy.
The first 100 felt like 100 episodes. The second 100, it's like kids, actually, in that way. Yeah. Actually, it's the opposite of kids because one kid. And maybe this is just our experience. Like, when we were about to have a kid, we got advice from everyone, like you do. And it was always like brace yourself type advice. So it's very like, you know, it changes everything and you've got to be prepared and blah, blah, blah. So we were like, you know, on pins and needles waiting for this like cataclysmic event. Yeah. And it does change everything. I mean, it's not like to say it doesn't, but it's not like as hard as we expected, I guess.
Sure.
And then when we're having another kid, like, we got none of that advice.
Right, because everyone's like, oh, you already had a kid.
I mean, yeah, we just congratulations.
I'm not going to waste my knowledge on you anymore.
Right, but we got none of the, like, be prepared because this is even way harder, you know? So we're like, okay, we've done this, and anyway, having two kids is like having 50 kids. Like, it is so much more than, like, one kid is like one kid.
It's worse than exponential.
Yeah, oh, it's so much worse than exponential. So anyway, 100 episodes is a lot. 200 episodes, I guess, is like no sweat. So, maybe
well,
it's just.
I think there's a lot of different things. One, we get into a groove of stuff that, I mean, like, we were testing the waters in the first 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. We were just trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then by the 100th episode, we had started to establish some patterns in our process.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, it wasn't ever, like, you and I, after the 100th episode, you and I could go weeks without talking about the show.
Yeah.
Whereas before that, it was like every day we were like, what is this? How's this? Are we doing this? Is this good? Like, it was a daily conversation.
Oh, yeah. Like, I talked to you way more than my wife, like, for the
first few weeks
eight
of our show. Yeah.
Months.
But then on top of that, we started getting, like, you know, Joy and James coming in, and that made everything faster. And then our wonderful, wonderful producer, Cameron.
Who's about to step outside.
Literally walking away as I'm praising him, so he won't even know this.
He took the headphones off and just
right
up
as I said his name. He started making everything easier, especially when you know, my day job started getting harder. Mm-hmm. So, like, the process just became a little bit faster.
I mean, the thing that facilitated all of that was this, having the studio space, which
we didn't have
before, moving this whole operation out of our basement.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of cart and caboodle with that, just being a little more established. I mean, it's been a long time since I, you know, had to explain what the Can Be Now podcast is, which does, like, with my anxiety and the type of person I am, does help a lot. Like, being able to call someone or email someone and not have to, like, you know, spend the first 30 seconds trying to explain who the hell I am and why.
Look,
I'm trying to talk
to them. So there's this thing called a podcast, and what we do is the news, but different than the news.
Oh, yeah. No, I know the Facebook group. No, we're not the Facebook group.
No, we're not the Facebook group. Yes, we know about it. Yes, we know Lisa. Yes.
Yeah.
We know them. We're not that.
Yeah. There's also this COVID thing that's been going on. I think that's just accelerated time for all of us.
Like, we're all just putting our heads down and just trying to get through this.
Exactly.
Year,
yeah.
And not just with COVID, but with just everything that's been going on. We're all like, it's funny because I get my sources of news from our show, mm-hmm. right? Like while I'm editing or producing or anything, like that's where I learn stuff. And it is interesting to see it from that point of view because, I mean, it's been established on the show long before. I don't care about most news things.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy listening to what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, I mean, there's been so much. Like the news is just so much.
Mm-hmm.
That it really is like, you know, people assume, and I do kind of pick up stuff as well, but people assume like I'm so knowledgeable and whatnot, and it's like I don't remember what I wrote last week, like because it's so like it just
there's so much happening,
yeah, it just flows in and out, and I don't have enough space in my brain to hold on to all this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm already on to the next thing. So, we did like 100 episodes. We had this whole, like, we spent weeks like working on it. We had a 2-hour episode. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like looking back,
just going over
our
everything.
Favorite interviews and our favorite police beats. And we mm-hmm. had like that mix, like that special theme song that I worked so hard on. That was amazing. and this is just like, sorry guys, like,
no, this is us finally being able to have the time to actually be like we said, we haven't been in the studio together on the mic since a year ago almost.
Yeah.
So it is nice to be able to come in and sit down and enjoy the studio and just talk and, you know, like we used to do. It's weird to say like in the old days when mm-hmm. we would just sit down on the mic and talk about what was going on in town.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, they're trying to make a telephone pole that looks like a tree. Yeah.
That was a big one when we that in Columbia distributing and all kinds of stuff.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Any favorite moments to stand out to you from the past year?
Honestly, no, man. I mean, because I've been working so much in the background of things like with the studio and getting that running and stuff, it's more just been watching our growth.
Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Just kind of how do you think the podcast or the company or what we do has kind of grown over the past year?
I think it's we're becoming more established.
Yeah,
which is what I like to see. You know, we have the studio here. And we've tried really hard to get people in to use it as whatever we can use them for, or whatever they can use it for. And it's been a little bit difficult just because we both have full-time jobs, and so we can't just be like, "Hey, we can be here at any time." But
right.
We have seen a lot of people come in. You know, we've had a gentleman who right before COVID really took over, he was coming in to start a series on like eating healthy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've done an audio book, about 90% of an audio book that we still need to finish. But again, uh-huh. COVID is getting in the way of that a little bit and some other stuff. And then, you know, just watching the potential for it grow and seeing where we can go from there. I'm really excited about getting people into the space so that we can give a voice to Cambie. You know, that was kind of the whole point of us starting the podcast, is to be able to give a voice to the town rather than just a newspaper, rather than just Facebook posts, like really literally give a voice to the town. Mm-hmm. And I think that potential is still there. We just need to be able to have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Plus, yeah. I think the defining mark for us, for me at least, was when we got the arcade game.
Oh my gosh, we got an arcade game and it's so amazing.
It's like, 12-year-old you and I just lost our minds when we realized we can have an arcade game in our space.
We had like pretty much when we, you know, we make like almost no money with this.
Right.
So we took on the studio space, and that was like, you know, trying to figure out how to make enough money to pay for that.
Yeah.
And then we sort of did a few phases of spending some money to kind of outfit it.
Yeah.
And then we got to a place, this was all before COVID, and got to a place where like, okay, you know, it's kind of done, it's usable, we really like the space, like we're gonna stop and just kind of sit and rest for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you saw this post on Facebook. Yeah. And you just like texted me this screenshot. Like,
hey, bud, what do you think of this?
Yeah. And I think I just said yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was expecting you to just be like, man, that would be so cool one day. But you were like, how much? When can we get it? How fast can we spend this money?
Yeah. Yeah. The kids love it. It's it's great. Yeah. So it's like X-Men fighting each other, mm-hmm. and then Marvel superheroes fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then the Punisher, which my kids called the Puncher.
The Puncher. Because that's what you do. I mean, you just walk
it works
the
on all the levels.
People,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally does. which is more of a like a side scroller.
Yeah.
Beat 'em up cooperative game.
Yeah, just one of those classic games, man.
Yeah, yeah.
From when I was a kid, when we would play Sega Genesis.
Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of the pinnacle. I guess we just,
there's
nowhere to go.
It's not all the computers, it's not the super nice microphones, the lighting system, it's not the TV in the studio, it's none of that.
No.
It's the old school arcade.
So, I mean, from there, like, we could kind of plateau, we could kind of maintain, but there's no going up from there.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we do have some news.
Yeah. On our news show. It's interesting.
Yeah. News about us.
Yeah.
So, after 200 episodes and almost 2 years, I mean, really, like, 2 years of putting out content, but more than 2 years of laying the groundwork and preparing this and whatnot, we are rebranding and changing the name.
Yep.
So, we're going to change the name of the Can Be Now podcast to...
Now Hear This Can Be.
Is that how you're going to say it every time?
Yeah.
Like, with, like, 3 seconds of pause?
Now Hear This... Can Be.
So we came up with the name Can Be Now based on the group. It was inspired by that.
Right.
But our parent company has always been Now Hear This Media.
Yeah.
And so that's where Now Hear
This
comes from.
Because we couldn't decide whether we liked Now Hear This or Frankie and the Claw.
No, I decided.
Oh, right. You decided.
I couldn't decide.
I was like, Frankie and the Claw Media sounds pretty good.
Yeah. sure.
No? All right. Well, maybe we'll have our own podcast called Frankie and the Claw one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start our own podcast.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen. That's true. Yeah. But we are even going farther than that. We are changing our social media and really rebranding and recasting what we do with the news stories to really reflect more of what I think people associate us with.
Yeah.
Which is more of a fully encompassing digital news source.
Yeah.
And not just a podcast.
Right. Well, and I mean, the original idea of... To be honest, the original idea that I had was literally I pitched it to Frankie years ago of like, man, have you seen this Can Be Now page? People are kind of crazy. what if we had a podcast where we just read some of the stuff that people say and then we throw some news in there or something? And
it was a much more traditional talky podcast.
Very conversational podcast, less news and more just kind of having fun with the people of Gambi.
Yeah, less trying to be like NPR on no budget.
Yeah. So we took that idea and ran with it, but very quickly realized that format is not what we want. We want to be a serious news.
It was really format. Yeah, I mean, Part of that was me, and that's what I had always done, and that was kind of comfortable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was the community. That's what they wanted and needed.
Yeah.
There was a real, you know, we got the question a lot, not so much lately, but when we first started, like, are you sure there's enough news, like, to just cover Canby and whatnot? And, like, there's never not been. Like, and even before the coronavirus and everything, and it was lacking from, you know, other media outlets that are in town or that are outside of town, but they cover Canby. There was a niche there for us, and people wanted it. And the more that we, you know, fit into that, the more people liked it, and the more that we grew, the more that we saw growth in our social media and our followers of our podcast.
Yeah.
So we are, recasting the social media and that whole side of things as the Canby Current, a digital newspaper for now. And the website, which was CanbyNowPod.com, is going to be CanbyFirst.com, Canby's First Choice in News.
Yeah.
With the goal, hopefully, of one day launching a print newspaper.
Right.
So we are going to be, there's an article up on our website you guys can check out, and we'll be sharing it. But we're going to be, we're sharing our vision for what this newspaper could be, and collecting interest from people and potentially subscribing to see if we can, you know, actually do this and make it viable. We're really excited about that. That's been my like lifelong dream.
Right.
And never, thought, I mean, obviously like, I'm not a complete idiot, and I went to school for journalism. I mean, that was kind of stupid, but the year 2005.
Right.
That was always been my dream, but I did see what was happening in the industry and figured that there would never be a path there.
Right.
But we kind of have a path that really is really creative and really makes a lot of sense. It would bring back even some really cool, like old school nostalgic things like kid carriers and community editorials and, you know, people from the community contributing writing and content that I think people would really enjoy.
Yeah, man. I'm super excited about it. And for me, you know, I've spent a lot of time as a graphic designer, and I was really excited when it's like, oh, hey, we're going to do a newspaper maybe. can you help with that? It's like, you know what? I can try. And so now it's giving me this new pathway of like being able to try things out. And I think that's what makes us is the fact that we're all about like, yeah, let's try it.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do, you know. And so I think this will carry on that spirit of like, look, we see a place for it and we want to give it a try.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, but, like, obviously there's so much. I mean, and we're still going to be, even if the newspaper does, and I am confident that it will happen, even when that does happen, we'll still be a digital-first news source. And there's so much that is important and better about digital. There's so many opportunities for news and content that the internet has opened up, obviously.
Yeah.
But with what we are and the community that we live in, I think there's something about producing something tangible in the real world, you know, that we can really point to and say, this is what we do, you know. And on top of that, you know, people are engaging with our content online and digitally because that's how we've all kind of been trained to do. But at the end of the day, like, we produce this thing.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know. I mean, that's really what this has kind of turned into, that is something that we, I think financially is still going to be needed to make local news viable. I'm not sure that an entirely digital approach is workable for a small town. I'm not sure that it is.
And plus, I think once we get through the whole COVID era thing, I think we're going to see, I think, or at least I hope, I'm optimistic, that we're going to see people who really want more physical, more in-person things to happen. You know, I think we'll have been starved of it for the most part. So digital and podcasts and stuff, it's like, it'll still be good, but there's still going to be something better about something in your hands, something about seeing people in person and being able to breathe around them, you know, without a mask on and just kind of have a newspaper that's a physical trace of something that can be digital, but you don't have to only have digital.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just going to, when this is all over, I'm going to be the most obnoxious like person. I'm going to be in everyone's face. I'm going to be hugging everyone. Like, we're totally starved for that. Absolutely. But yeah, so please check out our website. Check out the article and the process, all the pictures and the graphics and everything that we've laid out, because we're really, really excited about this. Really think that it's something that Cambi is going to love and be excited about. And if you like what we do and like our approach and everything that we've laid out, we really, really need your financial support.
Yeah, and I mean, I always hate doing the whole, OPB, what is it? The
pledge drive.
The pledge drive, yeah.
No, this is pledge week.
But it's
pledge year.
It's going to be really important that you guys help us out with that, so that we can make sure we get it done. I mean, we've already got plans for things that are going to happen. We're not going to sit here and say stuff's not going to happen if you don't help, but we can do more, and that's the stuff we're really excited about. So again, it's the name will be Now Hear This Cambi for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still, it'll be, it's
yeah, the podcast is not going to change that
written
much.
By Frankie, edited by Cameron, read by James and Joy. Like,
yeah,
it is still the same podcast. It's just a new name. The website will be cambifirst.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same website. We just want to make sure that it
old links are going to redirect. You're not going to get broken links or whatnot.
We want to have it be its own identity. We want you to be able to say, I have Cambi First. That's where I go on, saved on my page. We don't want it to just be a newspaper website.
Yeah.
It is its own thing.
Yeah.
And then, we'll have the digital newspaper that we're going to be producing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really excited about, because there's going to be so much about it that's just so cool.
And it's the need for financial support is to enable us to continue to do what we do with these uncertain financial times. Like you've already mentioned, we have full-time jobs. We would love to do this full-time. But we can't right now.
Because, we want to live our best lives. We're not there yet, but we will be.
No.
And
we're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when sports comes back and things come back, like, we want to hire people. We want to bring those jobs back and really cover Cambi like it deserves. But we need your $15 a month. That's all we're asking. $0.50 a day. To support local news, make it sustainable. Or if you own a business, you could give us even more, and we'll give you tons of great full color big page advertising.
That is
really great packages for
that. That is the thing that I am able to bring to this newspaper. I'm really excited about getting to know a lot of businesses in town to help them create campaigns and ads in our newspaper and our website.
Help build them back as well.
That are going to be, I love to make art. I love to make things look good. I'm not just going to be throwing a border around words with just text, and it's just, that's an ad. Like, I want
to
help people.
I already told him he's not allowed to use Comic Sans at all. I deleted
it. That's my font, Frank. I'm an artist.
I didn't even know that you could delete a font, but I figured out how. It's gone. He can't bring it back. Don't worry.
I'm redoing it by hand.
You're making your own Comic Sans.
I'm making my own Comic Sans.
All right. Well, that is about wrapping it up for us, I think. How do we even end these? I forget. It's been so long.
I don't know. Usually I try to say something funny, but it comes off as super awkward, and then you laugh at me.
Right.
Not with me, but
at
me.
You. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know any good jokes?
Not.
I'm wearing my dad joke. I tell dad jokes periodically. Shirt.
My favorite joke in the world is the muffin is in the oven, which Cameron's probably rolling his eyes.
Oh, you have to turn.
It goes, basically, there's two muffins in an oven. One of them turns to the other and says, "Man, it is hot in here."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other one turns and says, "Oh, my goodness, a talking muffin."
A joke.
That's the whole joke, and it's my favorite joke in the world.
All right, Cam, let's hit the music. Bam, 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 Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while since we've done one of these, but it usually comes with a musical interlude.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have it.
Is that the moving in song?
It is today.
We are here at the brand new home, which is formerly actually a home, of Canby Music Store with Brian Haynes.
Hello, how are you doing?
And a new employee, Reese.
Reese Hodge.
So, yeah, take it away, Brian. Tell us about your crazy summer.
Okay, so, yes, this has been actually a several year journey getting this thing put together, but especially...
And that was just the past month. No.
Especially since March, when everybody shut down, including my store.
Yeah.
I became a full-time construction worker for a while and came over here and has been working ever since and getting close to the end of it. So I thought I'd give everybody an update, and I thought it would be a good time also to introduce Reese that has been working here with me, because he's actually going to be working at the store. And he first came right around December, January, and introduced himself. He was somewhat new to the area and was a brass player, plays euphonium and trumpet and trombone and all that kind of stuff. And so he started coming in just one day a week doing some brass lessons, and things were all going good. And then things shut down, including his other job that he had. And I said, well, if you don't mind manual labor, I got plenty of work for you to do over here. And so he's been over here working on this thing with me ever since.
Not quite what you signed up for.
No, not at all.
Do you have a background in construction work?
Not really. I mean, my dad was a contractor growing up, so I kind of was always around it. And my last job, actually last couple jobs, what I do as a ski tech, and then just area maintenance at a ski area. So a little bit handy.
Working with your hands a little bit, but
I signed up to be an instrument tech, so.
Different kind of
work. Before I knew it, I was shoveling holes and putting concrete in it,
tell me a little bit more about yourself and I guess how you got into music.
Well, I'm originally from Colorado. I've just always been a band nerd.
And skiing. You mentioned that.
I grew up about 10 minutes from the Continental Divide.
Okay.
About half hour west of Denver. And
skied
my whole life. And then as soon as I got into band, just kind of, honestly started as just, an easy class, and little did I know it wasn't, and it kind of grasped my life, and then took off from there, and I did multiple honor bands, went to Allstate twice, and started school for it, and didn't really enjoy the program, so I took a step back, and then my gap year has continued on for, and then brought me out here.
Still going. So,
but it's been really fun working with him. I thought he's a good guy, and it's a good crew, and it's really, his tech, Nathan, has showed me a lot. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lessons with the woodwinds would be working with a lot of kind of like yourself, formerly band kids and whatnot. It's not necessarily like guitar where like somebody like me would pick it up and like, I'm going to do, you know, trombone or learn how to play that.
Well, the two lessons I had was, one was a high school or freshman, I think. And he had been in band for a while and one was brand new. So,
yeah.
So it was interesting because I'd never taught before. Mm-hmm. And with the high school, I was kind of more comfortable and like he kind of knew what I was like kind of talking for. But I had never even thought about teaching someone from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting experience. So it kind of goes, it varies from student to student.
Right.
And like I'm still such so new to teaching that it's kind of like just throwing myself in there. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Brian, can you remind folks that maybe don't remember or didn't hear the previous segment or see the article, the scope of this project and what it looked like before and describe what it looks like now. And we'll put some photos out there on our Facebook and website as well. But.
So 3 years ago, this whole corner was for sale. This house plus the old Elm Street Inn restaurant it was under many names.
Yeah. Grand Central and
but Starbucks. I have over 100 of the Elm Street Inn menus in the garage over here.
Right. This used to be at one point, right? It has been one property for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this used to be sort of like essentially like the parsonage for the restaurant. Like it would be where the restaurant owner lived.
Right. Yeah. So if they were renting out the restaurant, you know, leasing it, and then they would live over here in the house.
Yeah.
And it kind of got into disrepair. And there was talk maybe 5 years ago or so of tearing everything down here, both of them, and doing some sort of big thing. And for whatever reason, that fell through. So then they were selling it. And then I eventually got a hold of this, and they sold the other property. Mm-hmm. And then we started doing cleanup and all that kind of stuff and figuring out what to do.
Painted it blue.
And then
made everyone in Canby wonder, what's that going on with that blue hat?
Yeah, and I started second guessing myself, saying this is too big of a project. Mm-hmm. And what am I doing?
Yeah.
But then I got my second win with it, and now we're almost done.
Yeah. Do you feel like the, obviously, this would just be a silver lining type thing, but in some ways the COVID stuff and the shutdown will at least help you be able to really focus on giving this your full time and attention and getting it done.
I really wonder what this place would have looked like because we were so busy. The store was, a lot of people were really doing good with the economy.
Yeah.
Up to that point, and us included. And I was so busy, I couldn't do anything over here. I had contractors over here doing stuff. And, you know, and so it would have looked totally different if I wouldn't have been able to come over here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to call it a blessing.
But, right.
But
it's cool that you were able to do it with your own hands. Yeah.
Yep. And so it's, 5 months now of doing that. And hopefully in a couple weeks, we will be completely moved in and ready to go.
Yeah. And you are open at the old location right now by appointment or?
No, it's just open. So at the very beginning, when people were starting to open back up, we were kind of limited. But yeah, we haven't done any private lessons over there, but we're going to start doing them here.
Yeah.
Our rooms are much bigger. There's a whole separate floor for private lessons.
You guys saw the social distancing era coming from like a mile away.
That's right.
You got a lot more room.
I can tell the future.
So cramped it would have been in that previous space.
Well, so there was only two lessons rooms over there, and one was the lesson room / my office / where you eat lunch / where you store stuff. And
well, isn't the other lesson room / the store?
Well, there's another back one that was drums / piano. And
gotcha.
So the drums would take up the whole room. And then when we try to do something else, you'd have to pile all the drums in the corner.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then put them back.
Yeah.
But we were making it work, but we were way at capacity. You know, we were doing like 80 lessons a week out of those two rooms between the couple of us. So now we'll be able to do a lot more, have our space. the rooms are nice. They have all the air conditioning and mm-hmm. and stuff and windows.
Yes.
I've never had a window.
Right. in the rooms. Yeah. You want to give us a little tour?
Sure.
Show us
just a talking tour here.
Yeah.
So right now we're on the main floor. And we're putting up what's called slat wall all over the walls. And that's how you hang hooks and hang products on the wall. Mm-hmm. So we're almost done with that. We have a repair room for guitars on the main floor, a little room that could also be used as an extra lessons room. It could be a lessons room or guitar repair. But the main repair facility is upstairs. The audience can follow me upstairs in your mind.
You got the nice studio lights for a displaying product on that main floor.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. We got a lot of those track lights to shine down on stuff. So up here is going to be the brass and woodwind repair. I like to keep.
This looks so nice.
Yeah. So I like to keep working on guitars is delicate. You know, kind of woodwork and fine thing. Working on brass and woodwinds is like working on a car. You know, you got torches, you got chemicals, and metal shavings everywhere. So we're going to have two separate repair shops to keep those two things away from each other.
Yeah.
And what else up here? That's storage everywhere, office, little break room.
This looks so nice. And it would have been so hot up here on this top floor without the AC.
No, it's all insulated. So when this house, there was not one single bit of insulation in this house. You know, it was a lath and plaster.
Yeah.
1923 house.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
Nice view out to 99E. It's a Dairy Queen and
You have to pee beneath the sign, but that'll be coming down once you officially open?
Right. Well, another sign will come up. So, so this one says coming soon, and then I'll say, now open, come over here.
Yeah, right. Very cool. All right, man, anything else to add?
Well, let's go take a look at
down to the basement.
The lessons room, which was probably the most expensive part of the whole process.
Yeah.
All this wasn't too bad.
Yeah, soundproof it so nobody hears how bad the kids are. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, so it was an unfinished basement.
Yeah.
I mean, we even took the stairs out, flipped the stairs around the other way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so then.
Yeah, I didn't see the basement before.
So the basement was just an open cement box, right?
Okay.
And now it's completely finished with four soundproof lessons rooms, all with HVAC stuff.
This looks so good. And they even have windows down here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, each one of these lesson rooms have a window and a camera in them, and we have a waiting room.
It.
So you can sit as a parent or whatever. You can sit in the waiting room and watch on the camera.
That's so cool.
Because there's one thing, these rooms can be as soundproof as you want them, but if the door is open,
right,
doesn't work.
Right.
So I put the camera so they can watch over there and not stand the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
This is the part of the original.
This is still the structural beam.
Yeah.
Yep, and we just left it exposed and cleaned it up. It looks really cool.
It looks awesome.
Drum room.
Yeah, it'd be a shame to cover that up if you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Separate entrance so you can just come this. Complete with the bathroom down here. It's very interesting making a bathroom in a basement that didn't have a bathroom.
Yeah, I've actually done that before. You got to do the pumps and stuff.
Yeah,
to get
it
back up.
Flush up.
to get it back up to ground level. Yeah, man, you guys have done so much work. It looks amazing.
Yep, around that corner is a piano.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm a Casio keyboard dealer now, so we're going to have lots of keyboards. That's one thing we didn't have in the store before.
Because of room.
Yeah. We never had drums or keyboards because they just took up so much room. You have to make a choice.
Yeah,
And so now I'm going to have plenty of keyboards of all different levels.
Cool. Very cool. Well, great. So stay tuned to the KVNL podcast and KV Music Facebook page for updates about the move in and launch and everything.
Yep. I'm thinking, so we're going to slowly get in here, but I'm thinking some sort of grand opening will be at the beginning of September.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. And someday, hopefully, we can gather again and have concerts on the porch and things like
that. That was
like
the plan. Yeah. I got it all wired up for a concert.
One day.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden, so round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.